Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, you've heard of student exchange and study abroad programs. Students from the U.S. spend months to years studying and learning in other countries, and students from other countries and cultures come here to the U.S. to learn. The idea is that we broaden our horizons and become more successful global citizens as a result. My daughter actually spent a semester in Spain while she was in college. It was a life-changing experience for her. So I'm excited to bring you this conversation this morning because our guest this morning is going to tell us about what I would call an Uber exchange program. Dr. John McCabe, professor and chair of emergency medicine, is here in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, Dr. McCabe.
Good morning.
And welcome. I love stories like this, both from the education and the cultural aspects. So I've looked forward to our conversation. As I was reading about your program to prepare for the conversation, I was actually floored at the statistics about the development of emergency departments, both in the U.S. and around the country. So if you will, start us out with a little bit of that background.
Sure. Emergency medicine, even though we think it's always been there, is really a relatively new development in medicine in the U.S.
So and relatively new meaning?
Early 70s.
Really?
Is really the first organization of physicians who wanted to just do emergency medicine.
Really? And so we all expect that emergency rooms have been around forever and ambulances have been around forever. But that's not true, and it's not true in other countries, is it?
No, that's right. And if you look around the world, there are some places that look very much like us, Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia. But there are other places where emergency medicine, ambulances, emergency physicians are really very rudimentary or even non-existent.
Really? So what happens in an emergency? Say somebody gets in an auto accident or, you know, maybe gets run over by a horse and buggy. What happens to them?
Well, certainly in some parts of the world, a very advanced ambulance comes and picks you up and takes you to a trauma center where very skilled emergency physicians take care of you. In other places, you may lie on the road until somebody comes by and finally decides to drag you off to a hospital where there may or may not be any real services or understanding of the way to approach somebody who's seriously ill or injured.
That just seems appalling to me, but this is really what you're addressing, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and we've had a number of programs for a long time to try to both bring emergency medicine elsewhere in the world and also to understand the dynamics of their systems, because medicine is in some ways similar throughout the world, but other ways very different from place to place.
Very interesting. So tell me about these exchange programs. What countries are you working in?
Well, currently, both through the university and specifically in the Department of Emergency Medicine, we have some exchange programs in St. Lucia in the Caribbean, in India, and in China.
And students are staffing these they're going to these other countries and staffing in hospitals?
Yeah, there's a variety of educational, clinical care, and research programs. So in some instances, we'll send students from upstate, for instance, to China for a month elective at a time. In other locations, like St. Lucia, we'll send our own emergency medicine faculty and residents to staff a hospital. And in India, we have mostly focused on educational activities, but with really a burgeoning idea of residency training in emergency medicine in India, beginning to take their students here to the U.S. for training.
Ah, so that is a true exchange.
Yes.
Well, let's concentrate on China then for a moment. What city are you sending students to?
Most of our work centers around a city called Hangzhou, which is about 2 hours south of Shanghai on the eastern coast of China.
Okay, and what's their experience? I think you said they go for a month?
Yeah, there are a number of programs that have developed, but for the students specifically, they go there for a month. They're in three or four of the different hospitals there. And usually they split their time between a couple weeks of studying traditional Chinese medicine and then a couple weeks of looking at Western-style medicine in their own area of interest, similar to how it's practiced here in the United States.
Very interesting. And I love that combination because I get those kinds of questions all the time from patients. You know, what about the integrative medicine? And mm-hmm. That's really what you're talking about, isn't it? So what would the students' experience be then in the hospital?
Sure. I mean, I think I always tell them this is a cultural experience and somewhat of a medical experience. And the cultural side, I think they learn that medicine overall is organized differently there, that families pay attention to medical issues differently. Families help to participate in care differently.
Aha.
And then there are differences in the kinds of providers there. So here we think of a lot of ancillary providers, for instance, a physical therapist here. In China, that's a massage doctor.
Uh-huh.
And so there are differences in how care is organized. And then they do, obviously, they don't learn to do acupuncture while they're there and come back and skilled in doing that. And yet they see the role of things like that in taking care of patients as a whole. And I think that's a useful experience for them.
How big a city is Hangzhou?
Hangzhou is about 4.5 or 5 million people. So by our standards, it's big. By China's standards, it's relatively small.
Isn't that interesting? And are all hospitals created equally? I mean, would they find hospital experiences like they would find here, or are they more advanced, more rudimentary?
Yeah, I think they'd find the full range. And so sometimes our students are in fairly rural environments and sometimes more in the city environment. The full range of hospitals from very small to the large tertiary teaching kind of hospital exist. Over the time that we've gone, we've seen a big change in terms of the physical facilities, and they've really been upgrading quite a bit in China as a whole. Very often we see the same kind of CT scanner, for instance, that we have here at University Hospital, but historically it's been in a much more rudimentary kind of physical plant. So they haven't paid attention to the amenities and the physical plant as much as we're used to doing here.
Very interesting. Now, the experience the students have, what do you hope that they're going to bring back when they come back? If the hospitals are more rudimentary, then I suppose there would be that kind of experience. But what are you hoping they'll bring back with them?
Well, for the students, I really hope that they get an understanding that the way they've learned and looked at medicine in the United States during their training is not the be-all and end-all, and that there are other aspects of taking care of patients that are useful for them to think about.
Very good. Now, you also have students that come from China to here to Central New York, of course, and other parts of the country, I'm sure. But tell me about their experience.
Yeah, so the program in Hangzhou, historically, we take somewhere between 7 and 8 individuals a year. They come to Syracuse for about a 4-month period of time, and they are fully trained physicians, usually kind of in mid-level of their career. So they might have been in practice for 8 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. And they usually are coming to gain certain experiences or specific skills that they think would be useful for them back in China. And I'll give you an example. For instance, the incidence of heart disease in China is less than in the United States. So one of the hospitals was interested in developing more cardiac catheterization services to meet a growing demand. And so they sent their cardiologists here to study and to beef up their skills.
They do. Yeah. Now, I'll share with you that a few years ago, I did a project with Syracuse University. We had some Chinese businessmen that came in, and I worked with them on some business things. They were going from university to university to university to pick up some of these skills. And by the end of their program, which I think lasted 6 weeks altogether, about half of them had defected. And that meant that that program did not get carried out the next year. Do you run into problems with that? Do students come here and stay here?
We have not. The group that we work with in Hangzhou has a similar program in Berlin as well. And they've had one student defect in the Berlin program, none yet here. But they're very careful about picking people. So typically that's why they pick people in that kind of mid-career. Usually that means they have families back in Hangzhou while they're here for their 4 months. And so there's an incentive for them to go back.
Yeah, they have roots there.
They have roots
that they don't want to give up. Well, that makes a lot of sense, and that actually answers that question very well. Talk to me about your experiences in India. Are they the same, different? What's going on with the program there?
Well, they're very different because India is very much just in the beginning stages of developing emergency medicine. So a country of 2 billion people has 2 residency training programs in emergency medicine.
And that's it?
And that's it.
Oh.
So there's an enormous interest and kind of thirst for understanding emergency medicine as we practice here, learning the skills that we have here. So most of our effort to date has been with a U.S.-based group called the American Academy for Emergency Medicine in India, trying to help that group help India establish residency program, good educational meetings. And so we've really focused on that.
Very good. And do we have Indian students coming here?
We're just in the phase of signing some agreements to have some residents in India, from India in emergency medicine, come to Syracuse to do some training with us, with the idea that then they can go back and become the early kind of a faculty for building emergency medicine training programs there.
That sounds great. Now, St. Lucia, I think, was the third place you mentioned. What's going on with St. Lucia?
St. Lucia is a longstanding program where faculty and residents from the Department of Emergency Medicine, typically in the spring, go down to St. Lucia for a few weeks at a time and provide staffing in the emergency department and education to the emergency department staff in what is a largely volunteer hospital. So they'll work side by side with similar physicians from Ireland or England or elsewhere and teach emergency medicine and provide the care in the emergency department for a period.
That sounds great. It sounds like on-the-job training kinds of things. It's very good.
It is, and it's also a different kind of environment. They see things there that they don't see here, like tetanus, for instance.
Oh, sure.
Every year they come back and tell me they've seen someone with tetanus.
Wow. Interesting. Who's benefiting the most from these programs, do you think? Do you think the countries where you're going? Do you think the students who are coming back? Who's the biggest benefit, or is the benefit to everyone?
Well, I think the benefit's to everyone, and I think as someone who tries to organize these, it's important that we don't just think about we're exporting our kind of medicine and helping other people. There's a little bit of that, but we also learn a lot about how medicine can or should be practiced by doing these. So I think it really is a two-way street. And if you think about it, even to go to a place and provide the care, if you consider the whole world, what we're doing is such a tiny little pebble in the water.
Yeah, but it's a
start. Important, but mm-hmm. it's a start, but it really is. So it's as useful for us to learn.
And I think one of the biggest values is the whole idea of being global citizens and understanding what's going on in the rest of the world. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Well, and I think also every day in the emergency department here or elsewhere, more and more we're seeing people who have global experiences. Their diseases can be acquired overseas. You know, we see huge populations of patients who are not U.S. citizens anymore. And so understanding that their values are different, their interest in medicine, their understanding of why they're sick, all those are really critical things to becoming good doctors in the future.
Very good. Well, Dr. John McCabe, this has been a fascinating discussion. I love the whole idea of the global, the experiences the students are getting, and certainly the benefits that they are taking to these other countries. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And listeners, we do need to take a break now, but we'll be back shortly. Please stay with us. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.